Today's shiur is Daf Kuf Gimel, and we're going to begin on Kuf Beis Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. At the end of yesterday's shiur, we discussed a machlokes of Rav and Shmuel on various melachos. What is the chiyuv? Is the chiyuv because of Boinam or because of Mak Bepatish? Rav indicated that the chiyuv was because of Boina. Shmuel said the chiyuv was Mak Bepatish. The reason we need to know which malach it is, the Rishonim explained two reasons. First of all, as we've said, to be chayiv for a mezid, we have to give the person who does the malacha a hasra. To aid them, the witnesses have to give him hasra. They have to know which malacha was being done in order to give the hasra. Is it boina or is it makba patish? Another reason Rishonim explain is because, as we've said, if somebody does an av and its own tolda, most shittas, not shittas Rabbi Elazar, but the chacham hold that the person's only chayiv for the av. So we need to know which av it is, that in case the person did a tolda of that av, he would not be chayiv for that av. So now, for that tolda. So now we need to know, as we said, we had this machlokes regarding these various malachas. Boimene Reb Nosson Bar Oishim Reb Yochanan. Mesasis. We spoke in the Mishnah about mesasis, somebody who chisels a stone. Meshamayim Mechayiv. Achvalei B'yodei. So he shot him with his hand. Meshamak Mepatish. In other words, he made a motion of striking his fist on his palm, just like he would be striking with a hammer, which is the malacha of Makba Patish. Ask Reb Nosson Bar Oishia, Vanantana Wieland in our Mishnah, HaMesaseis VaMakba Patish, which seems to indicate that Mesaseis is like Makba Patish. So how are you telling, the Mesaseis and Makba Patish are two separate malachas? So how can you tell me, like Shmuel said, that a Mesaseis is a Makba Patish? And says the Gemara, Eima, what you mean to say is, the way to learn Pshat is, HaMesaseis, somebody who chisels a stone, HaMakba Patish is an example of somebody who's a Makba Patish. Toshma, HaKodeach, Kolshu, we learned that somebody drills any amount is Chayif. So Bishlam L'Rav, so according to Rav, who said that if somebody makes a hole in a chicken coop, it's considered boina, then our case too, when somebody makes a hole, that any size hole, that would be considered boina. Why? Because machsi the man the chor chors lebinyanai. It appears like somebody's drilling a hole for the benefit of building, and according to Rav, just like making a small hole in the chicken coop is considered boina, so too making any small hole for the sake of building is considered boina. El Shmuel, according to Shmuel, lav gam melachahu. This is not a finishing touch, so it's not machs bepatish, and it's certainly not boina according to Shmuel, because Shmuel says making that hole in the chicken coop is not boina. Answers the Gemara, hachemai skinen. What's the case we're talking about? The Bazai Beramtz the Pazla, a person made a hole in the wall with a long iron nail, Vishafka Begavei, and he left it there to hang. He left the nail to hang things on that nail. That is Makba Patish, Danagam Malacha. That's the way he has the furnishing touch, that a person hangs up a nail for people to hang pictures or whatever on. So we just mentioned that according to Rav and Shmuel, we have a machloikas if somebody makes an opening. We spoke about it yesterday already. Is that boina or makba patish? According to Rav, it's boina, and according to Shmuel, it's makba patish. There's a very interesting tshuva from Shlomo Zalman Orbach in the Mincha Shloima. He discusses the shaila, if somebody is in a room that's dark, there's no light, there's no windows, and it's impossible to function essentially in that room, if by opening and closing the door is it called boina according to Rab, because he gives the room light. And Rav Shlomo Zalman says that even according to Rav, that would not be a situation of Baina. He says, Baina is only when I'm creating something new. I make a hole, I make a window. But in a case where the door existed from before, and all I'm doing is opening, closing the door, even though that brings in light that wasn't there previously, that would not be considered Baina even according to Rav. So we learned in the Mishnah that Zeh Klal, that anybody who makes a Melach on Shabbos and it's Miskayemes, he's Chayef. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, Zeh Klal Asuyamai, what's the Zeh Klal coming to teach us? Says the Gemara, Lasuya comes to teach us, somebody, the Chok Fiz of a Kappa, somebody hollowed out a cavity that can hold a small amount, 3/4 of a Kav, in a block which is large enough to hold a Kav. So, even though the person hollowed out only 3/4 of a calf, he did not finish carving out all he intends to carve out. He's still chayiv for the amount that he carved out, because some people would use a hollowed out cup with this amount for drinking. Rav Shimon Gamliel Aymar, we also learned in the Mishnah, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Hamaka b'kornis l'osadin, somebody who strikes with a hammer on the stick, on the table, while he's working is chayif. Ask the Gemara, my covet, what's the melacha? Answer the Gemara, Rabbi Rav Yosef Amar Tavayim Neshma Amenes Yodai. He's training his hand how to hammer properly. That's the melacha. Ask the Gemara, Koshba B'nei Rechava, Elamata, according to this. Chazam Menos B'Shabbos V'Gomer, if somebody watches how somebody else does any type of work on Shabbos, Hochi Nami D'Machayev, is he chayif? He hasn't done any malachi, he just watched. El Abaya V'Ravad Amri Tavayu, she came Radatei Tasa Mishkan Azekain. People who pound sheets of gold, people who pounded sheets of gold for the Mishkan, as we know, many items in the Mishkan were covered with sheets of gold, including the Kroshim. So when they hammered gold, they would, after every 3 times they hammered on the sheet of gold, they would give a clap on a smooth surface. That's the way they made sure that that the hammer would remain smooth and not puncture the sheets of gold. Tanya Nami Hachi, Hashem Gamliel Oimer, Afa Maka B'Kornas Al-Sadan B'Shas Malacha, somebody who strikes with a hammer on the table while he's working Chayif. She came right to Tass and Mishkan, that's okay, the people who work with the sheets of gold in the base, in the Mishkan, would so do. From our Gemara, there's an interesting Shaila, many places can discuss, is someone allowed to go watch someone do something in Shabbos to learn how to do it? In our Gemara, it seems that it's mutter. The Shar Metzion Balacha, however, paskins that if the person's goal in going to watch something to do this is to learn how to do something, how to do during the week, there's no issa d'oraisa, but it's certainly inappropriate. And the Chalkas Yaakov also has a tshuva about this. He discusses a situation where there was a doctor who was not going to perform an operation, but was wanted to observe how an operation was being conducted by an expert, a once-in-a-lifetime operation. And he says, although it's inappropriate to spend time in Shabbos doing that, however, when it comes to healing people and learning how to heal people, and he himself will not do anything in the operation, there may be a heter to watch. The next Mishnah discusses the melacha of Harisha, which is plowing, and we also will talk about Zriya, which is planting. And the reason it's mentioned here, Taisus Yantra says, because just like we learned in the previous Mishnah, the shear is kol shehu, here too, the shear is kol shehu. So our chayrish kol shehu, somebody plants any amount, or hamanachish, or somebody who weeds, vamakarsem, that's pruning dry branches, vamazarid, or somebody prunes young shoots, he prunes the extra shoots, that since there are too many coming out of the tree, they diminish the strength of the tree, so they stimulate the tree's growth. in all these cases, kolshu, if he does it in any amount, he's chayiv. Now the Rishonim explain, as we try to identify these malachis, whenever anything is done for the earth, then that's considered chayrish. A malacha that's done on behalf of the tree, or behalf of the true, or behalf of the fruit, is considered zoreya. So in all these cases, it's chayiv. Hamalakin eitzim, somebody who collects wood by cutting branches off a live tree, im lasakin, if his intent is to improve the tree, kol shehein, then he's chayiv for any amount. As we just explained, since his goal is to improve the tree, that would be zoreya. Im lahasik, if his intent is to collect wood for kindling, how much does he have to collect? Kedei levashel beyakala, the amount you need to cook an easily cooked egg, which we explained previously in the Masechta, is a chicken egg. Rashi explains that this malacha would be koitzer, cutting. The Rambam says that the malacha here, when somebody's collecting firewood, would be ma'amr. Hamlaka savim, someone who gathers grass, im lasakin, if his intent is to improve the soil, kalshu, that would be chayrish, and his chi would be any amount. Im lebehema, if his intent is to use the grass to feed his animal, kamalapigdi, the amount that you need to fill up the mouth of a goat. Ask the Gemara, Lamai Chazi, when somebody plows a minimal amount of land, for what is it useful? Answers the Gemara, Chazi Lebizra de Kara. It could be used to plant a pumpkin seed. The Kavasaga of a Mishkan, which we find something similar to Mishkan, Shekin Roy Lekalach Akachal Summon. If somebody, they would dig a furrow to plant one stalk of an herb needed to produce dye. Now Rashi makes an interesting point that even though we learned on Daf Tzadik that regarding the Malachas Haitzah, you have to carry out at least 2 pumpkin seeds to be chayiv for Malachas Haitzah, yet here we're learning that if you just plow enough for one seed, you chayiv for chayrish. So Rashi answers that there's a difference between transferring and plowing. Transferring, a person will normally not transfer less than 2 seeds. However, plowing, Rashi says, each hole which holds in which one seed is planted is considered an individual hole, and the digging of each hole is considered a separate, significant melacha. So even if somebody normally, Rashi says, plows an entire furrow at one time, it's not considered like one long furrow. It's considered a combination of individual holes, with each hole having its own significance, and therefore even one seed which fits into one hole is chayif. We learned further in the Mishnah, Hamanachish from Akas from Mazareid, somebody weeds or prunes dry branches or young shoots in any amount is chayif. Tanabon, we learned in the Brisa, a toilish ulshin, somebody who picks up endives, mamitzaret zardin, or prunes reeds, im lachila, if doing it for eating kegroigris, then the sheerest amount of a dried fig. Im lebehema, if he's doing it to feed an animal, kemolipidi, the amount to fill up the goat's mouth. And Lahesik, if he's doing it for fire, Kedei Levasho Beyakala, the amount needed to cook an easily cooked egg. And Lahyapis is a Kaka, and if his goal is to improve the ground, Kol Shehei, then any amount. Ask the Gemara, Atakula Lav, Lahyapis Kaka Ninu, in all the situations, even if a person didn't necessarily intend to improve his land, but his land does get improved by doing this melacha, so why isn't he chayif? Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Rav Yosef Amri Tavayu, they both explain Ba'agim Shonim. We're talking the first part of the Mishnah that said, that doesn't refer to a case of Liapas as a Kaka, is talking about a swamp. Now, the Noida Behuda asks a question, why didn't the Gemara say a simpler answer? The Gemara should have said that he's Chayef too. That means, number one, he's Chayef for being Miyap the Kaka, for improving the land, and also, he could be Chayef for another Malacha, for Kaitzer. Miyap the Kaka would be Chayrish, and the other thing would be Kaitzer. So the Noida Behuda says, if that was the intention of this Braisa, the Braisa shouldn't have said the Liapis is a Karka last. The Braisa should have said Liapis is a Karka is Chayev right away for Chayrish. And then also, if he also had an intent to collect it for use, he's also Chayev for Kaitzer. Since the Braisa left for Liapis is a Karka last, it seems to teach us that not in all circumstances are you Chayev for Liapis is a Karka. And that's why the Gemara just said at Teretz, why isn't there an issue of Liapis is a Karka always? Because sometimes it's Ba'agam, sometimes it's a swamp, but there's no issue of improving land. Abai says a different Teretz. Abai am afil terim besodah de lav agam. Even if we're talking about a piece of property that's not in a swamp. Going to like kamachavin. We're talking in a situation where he did not intend to improve the land. And we're going according to Reb Shimon, who we've quoted many times, that holds, a dovish ein meskaven, if I did not intend to do a malacha, I'm not chayif. Ask the Gemara, v'abai v'rov adam ritavayu, both Abai and Rav said, moider Reb Shimon, b'psik reshev lo yomus, that Reb Shimon agrees, that even though Reb Shimon holds, that dovish ein meskaven, if I don't intend to do something, I'm not chayif, but if what I did, if what happens is always going to happen, that's not considered davish ena mechavin. What's the classical example? What's a psik reisha? If somebody cuts off a chicken's head, psik reisha v'lo yomus, will the chicken not die? So even though it wasn't my intention to kill the chicken, it's going to for sure happen. Here too, if you do this to the ground, it's going to improve. And it says the Gemara, l'tzricha d'ka'ovid ba'ar d'chavrei. We're talking that he didn't do it in his own field, he did it in his friend's, in somebody else's field. So since he doesn't care about that land, it's not considered a malacha. So there are three pshatim how to explain what's the difference if it's not your own property, it's somebody else's. Taisus pshat is, it's a malacha shena tzricha l'gufa. Since, as and the way the Mefarshim explain, Taisus says malacha shena tzricha l'gufa always is that we have to do a malacha for the same intent as in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, when they worked on land for their own purpose. They wanted the land to be good, to plant, to grow. Here, when I'm working on my friends, when I'm collecting for my friend's property, so my goal is not at all to improve it. So it's a malacha shena tzricha l'gufa. Rav Shimon holds, malacha shena tzricha l'gufa is potter. The Ritva explains differently. The Ritva says that the reason he's potter is if a person doesn't intend to make something better. He explains like this, that the malacha of chayrish is only applicable when a person's goal is to improve land. In a situation where a person does not have any intention to improve the land, that is not included in the Malacha of Chayrish. The Aruch, Taisus quotes, the Aruch says a very interesting pshat. He says that even though Rav Shimon holds that a psik reisha by its chayiv, that means even though Rav Shimon normally holds a dov shem mechavin is potter, but we've always said Rav Shimon will hold by psik reisha its chayiv, says the Aruch, if it's a psik reisha to lay nichalei, if it's a creation that he doesn't care about, or others call it lay ichbeslei, is stronger terminology, he doesn't really care, then, even though it's a psikresha, Rav Shimon will hold his potter. And that's the situation here. Since he doesn't care, it's not his property, that's why, even though it's a psikresha, it'll still fall under the heter of a dovah shenim chavin. Taisus, at length, disagrees with the Aruch, and he says that even a psuk resha, delay nichale, is still a psuk resha, and therefore does not fall under the heter of a dovish and a mechavin. Interestingly enough, the paiskim who agree with Tosfos mostly and say that psuk resha, delay nichale, is not mutter, still by a melachad rabbanon, many paskim do say that we can rely on a psuk resha delay nichalei. Says the Mishnah, we begin discussing the melacha of kaisif, of writing. Hakaisif shtai oishes, somebody writes two letters, bein b'yimino, bein b'smoloi, whether he writes them with his right hand or his left hand. And let's talk about each halacha separately. So here we're learning that it makes no difference if you write with the right hand or the left hand, which the Gemara will explain. Whether they're both the same letter or whether they're two different letters. Whether if they're the same ink or two different inks. And the Rashba asks, what's the Chiddush? Why would I think it makes a difference what type of ink? So Rashba says the Chiddush is that if you wrote two letters and each letter you wrote with a different type of ink, the two inks are still combining for melacha, b'chol lashon, in any language, chayiv, he's chayiv. So there's a very interesting shaila, because Rama quotes the Or Zeruah that says that if somebody writes not in Lashon Kodesh, not in Hebrew, there is no Chiyuv D'oraisa for writing on Shabbos. So all the Mefarshim ask that our Mishnah explicitly says B'chol Lashon, in any language. So how could the Or Zeruah disagree with what we've just learned in our Mishnah? So Mefarshim explain that what the Or Zeruah means is like this. The rule will say that the Mishnah means like this. B'chol Lashon means that he wrote any language but in Hebrew. That means, let's say he wrote English words in Hebrew letters. That's what the Mishnah is telling us is chayiv. But according to the Ruah, if somebody wrote English words in the English letters, according to the Ruah, there would not be a chiv deraisa. Most paiskim don't pass in that way. Amar Rav Yosi, l'chayiv u'shtei oisyos, Chazal said that you're not chayiv for writing two letters, elam shemroshin, only because of marking. In other words, according to Rabbi Yossi, the melacha of kaisiv is roshin, marking. Shekach kaisiv akar shemishkan, because they would write on the boards of the mishkan, later, Eze ben Zuga, to know which one it's made, to know where to put back the kroshim. So the way Rashi explains, there's a fundamental machloikis between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanan. According to Rabbi Yossi, on the letters, on the kroshim, they did not necessarily write letters, they only made marks, and according to Rabbi Yossi, marking would be the melacha, and therefore makes no difference what kind of mark you made. The Tanakhama, according to Rashi, however, holds that actual letters were what was written on the kroshim, and therefore the melacha is writing. And according to Rashi's explanation of Tanakhama, somebody is only chayiv for using written characters that are part of a language, but just making signs would not be osam midaraisa. The Menches Chinuch has a different pshat. The Menches Chinuch says that the Tanakhama will also agree that if somebody just makes marks, he'll be chayiv. How could it be that if somebody makes marks, he should not be chayiv, says the Menches Chinuch? He just says the machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and the Tanakhama is why. According to Rabbi Yossi, Roshim is considered the Malacha, because that was what was done in the Mishkan. According to the Tanakhama, Roshim is only a tolder of Kaisif. That means in the Mishkan, what they did was Kaisif. They were writing. The Malacha of Roshim is a tolder of Kaisif. What would be the Nafkamina? So Mechzchinus has a very big nafkamina if you call it an av or you call it a tolda. If we hold kaisif is the av, and we're going to learn in the Gemara that for a righty, for a person who writes with the right hand, writing with the left hand, he's not chai for kaisif. So if roishim, as the Mechus Chinuch explains, is a tolda of kaisif, even somebody who makes just a mark, which could be made by most people with the left hand, he would still not be chayiv. Because roishim, according to the Tanakhama, is a tolda of kaisif, and if kaisif is only in the right hand, so too is roishim. On the other hand, if we learn like Reb Yossi, the roishim is its own independent av, then you chayiv, and in roishim, in a marking, you could do it with the right hand and the left hand equally the same, even if you usually write with your right hand. So you would be chayiv for roishim in the left hand. So the nafkamina between Reb Yossi and the Tanakam, according to Menachas Chinuch, is somebody who's doing roishim with the left hand. According to Tanakam, he'd be potter. According to Reb Yossi, he'll be chayiv. Whereas according to Rashi, anybody making a mark would be potter. Rabbi Yehuda, Matzinu Shem Kot Meshem Gadol. We find a short word, part of a long word. Shem, Shimon, Mishmul. If somebody writes the word Shem from the word Shimon or Shmul, that means he intended to write the word Shimon, the name Shimon, and just wrote Shem, or he intended to write Shmul, and he wrote Shem. Noch mi Nochar, Dan mi Daniel, God mi Gadiel. He just wrote the first two letters of these words, which have an independent meaning. Ask the Gemara. Bishlama ayamin l'chayiv. I understand why somebody is chayiv for writing with the right hand. That was the normal way of writing. Ella small mai. Why should somebody be chayiv for writing with the left hand? That's not the normal way of writing. We're talking with a left-handed person. Ask the Gemara. If we're talking about a left-handed person, for to have a small the day came in the kulama, a person who's left-handed, his left hand is like everybody else's right hand. For small lechayiv, and therefore he should only be chayiv for the left hand. I am in lo lechayiv, and he should not be chayiv at all for the right. We're talking about a person who's ambidextrous. He can use both hands, and that's why he's chayiv for both hands, whether the right hand or the left hand. And Ritva explains, it doesn't have to be a person who uses both hands equally, as long as he's able to write with both hands, even though normally he uses one hand, and one hand is better, he's still chayif. Ravacha Berei de Bas Yaakov gives a different teretz. Hamani Reb Yosihi. Because lechayif v'shtei oisiyos, Chazal were only mechayif to writing two letters, only because of marking, and in Roshim there's no difference in marking between the right hand and the left hand. Ask the Gemara, if we see that Reb Yossi is only mentioned as the second part of the Mishnah, so the first part, Reisha, the beginning of the Mishnah, is obviously Lav Reb Yossi. So how can you tell me that the whole Mishnah is going according to Reb Yossi, who says Yichayi for Roshim? Says the Gemara, Kula Reb Yossi. Really, the entire Mishnah is going according to Reb Yossi. And the way the Mefarshim explains like this. The Tana forgot to mention Reb Yossi's name when he started writing the Mishnah. And then after he wrote a few lines in the Mishnah, he remembered, oh yeah, I didn't mention Reb Yossi's name, so he inserted his name there. And Taka, we also forgot to mention something that I wanted to say in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that where do we find the concept of writing in the Mishkan? They wrote on the krushim, on the boards, when they disassembled the Mishkan, they would make symbols to know where the krushim were to put them back into the same place. And the Yerushalmi learns that a board that was originally put on the north side of the Mishkan should not be put on the south side. So every board had its marking to know where to put it back. Why? So the Pasha Pshat is, because since, as we've learned in the previous Perek, the back of the Mishkan, the west side of the Mishkan, was where the Aron was, so any board that was closer to the back, we want to remain there. Ma'al B'Kodesh V'Emeridim, we don't want to remove it to be in a less Choshev spat. So we had to remember where each board was previously. Others say even more. Every board, every place where there is, has its own significance. Sometimes a board was next to the Mizbeach, or a board was next to the Menorah, and every one of the Keli HaMishkan have its own significance. And therefore, we always want to remember exactly where the boards were in order to put them back to the same spot. Many Paiskim, the Shlah uses this concept for the Minog, why many people have on their talis and a Torah, whether it's a strip of silk or silver that they put on top of the talis to make sure that a person doesn't turn over and wear the talis upside down. Because since once you wore a talis on top of your head, which is obviously more chashuv at the bottom, we don't want to turn it around, similar to the keresh that was not close to the keresh that was close to the Kodesh HaKadoshim should not be removed and put further away from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So here we just spoke that writing with the left hand is not considered writing for a person who usually writes with the right hand, and he would not be chayiv for writing with the left hand. The Paiskim all say like this. We have lamates malachas. For the malacha of writing, we've just learned in the Gemara that you're not chayiv if you write with the left hand, if you're a right-handed person. For carrying, we learned that you are chayiv, bein biminoi, bein besmoiloi, whether if you write with the right hand or with the left hand. Whether you carry, with the right hand or the left hand. The question is, what's going to be the halacha regarding all other malachas? Will there be a halacha? It makes no difference if you do it with the right hand or the left hand, or will it be only with the right hand? Some Paiskim say that just like we find that since we find that the Gemara went out of its way to say that dafka by writing your potter on the left hand, if you're a right-handed person, it comes to teach us that everywhere else you're chayiv on the left hand. On the other hand, some Paiskim say that no, that the only time you chayiv on the left hand is if it's no difference if you do it with the left hand or the right hand. Carrying would be the best example, because it makes no difference. Even a person who's right-handed can carry things in his left hand. But doing something, people who are right-handed have difficulty working with the left hand, and therefore would not be chayiv. Certainly a person should try not to do any malachas with the left hand. There is two interesting shailas that I saw. One shaila is regarding writing with the left hand. We see here is certainly not the right way of writing. And I saw a shaila from Rabbi Yoshev like this. Let's say somebody's a doctor and he has to write on Shabbos. So certainly he should write with the left hand if he's a right-handed person versus the right hand. But he was asked, what is better? Should a person write less letters? In other words, let's say somebody has to sign his name. So he could do it in one of two ways. He could either sign his initials with his left hand, or he has a stamp which has his whole name, and he could stamp his whole name but it won't be writing. Will that be what's better to do? So Rabbi Yoshua paskins that it's better to write those two letters with the left hand than to stamp the entire name, more letters, to stamp with his right hand. Because he says that when you stamp, every letter is considered a separate stamp, and you're considered doing more malacha when you did it with your right hand. Of course, the best eitzah probably would be is to stamp with your left hand. Another interesting shaila is like this. We've been discussing how you wrote, with your right hand, with your left hand, what language you wrote, but there's also a concept of where you wrote. For example, if somebody wrote in a place where it's not made for writing, is that called kaisiv? And similarly, the same shaila would be that if you erase that type of writing, that would that be considered moichik? The shaila comes up, let's say on Shabbos, somebody's children marked crayons on the wall. So since the walls were certainly not made for marking up crayons, will that be considered meichik if you clean that wall? If the place of writing is not the place that was made for writing, then erasing that is not considered meichik, the Paiskim say. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda said that we find that if somebody writes a short name that's part of a long name, Shem Shimon, he's chayif. Rabbi Yehuda, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, asked the Gemara, Shtei oisis v'hin shnei shemes, that if somebody writes two letters that are two letters from that are two characters, who the mechayif? Shtei oisis, but if he writes two letters, v'hin shnei mechot, but they're the same character, let's say he would write Aleph Aleph or Shin Shin, loy mechayif. For Tanya, we learned in a brayse of Asa Achas. The Torah says, "Nefesh kisech to b'shkaga." Possibly we've quoted many times. Mikom mitzvah Hashem ashloisa sana v'asam achas mehena. So the word pasuk uses the word achas, one, which teaches us that he has to do an entire malacha to be chayiv kar mechatas. Yochel ach yichtav kol Hashem. So I think he's only chayiv if he writes the entire word that he planned. Vachiyar kol abeged, or if he weaves the entire garment that he intended to weave. Vachiyasa kol anafa, until he makes the entire sieve. Tamaloyma may achas. He doesn't have to do the entire planned labor, even may achas, part of it, he's chayif. Imi achas, if it only said may achas, yocha filoy kasav alayis achas, if he wrote only one letter. Filoyar galachur achar, he only wove one thread. Filoyasa el bayis achbenafi, he only made one part of the weave. Because as we will discuss in the next parak, in weaving they used to make three loops on top and on bottom of the material to hold it together. And if you make only one, you're not chayiv. Tamaloymer. That's why the pasuk says achas. He has to do an entire malacha. Ketzad. Okay, so how do we reconcile this? He's only chayiv unless he writes a small word which is part of a big word. As we explained, Shem Shimon, Umishmuel, Noach Minochar, Dom Medaniel, God Megadiel. In all these cases, he's chayiv. Now, the Braisa will continue in mentioning some other shittas, which we will try to explain. And then the Gemara is going to come back with the kasha that we have on Rabbi Yehuda, who we're going to quote right now. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, I feel like kasha elishteim oisius. Even if somebody wrote only two letters, v'hein shem echad, but they're the same, but they represent a word, kigon sheish, teis, ror, gag, hoch. All of these things are two letters that it is identical, but in all these cases they are words on themselves. So this statement of Yehuda seems to say that he's chayiv, which contradicts what we learned in the Mishnah, that the Mishnah says that if he wrote three letters, that if he wrote two letters, they have to be different in order to be chayiv. Now we have another opinion in the Braisa. Amar Rabbi Yosi, v'chi mishum kosev chayiv, is he chayiv for writing? As Rabbi Yosi always tells, he's chayiv for marking. They used to make marks on the kroshim, to know which was its pair, where it belongs. Therefore, somebody made a scratch on two boards, or two scratches on one board, chayiv, he's chayiv. Shimon Omer, the pasuk says, for asa achas, yochel at yichtavs kol Hashem, until he writes the entire word, atchera kol beged, until he makes the entire beged, atchias kol enough, until he makes the entire sieve, tamaloyim may achas, even part, imi achas yochel filo kosev alayis achas, even if he wrote only one letter, vafilo aragalo chod achad, only he did wove only one thread, vafilo yasa ala beis ach menafa, only he made one little part of the weave, tamaloyim achas, one, ha ketzad. How do we reconcile this stira? Ein achayev, achiyas melocha, He only does a melacha which will endure. Rabbi Yosi Omer, v'asa achas v'asa hena. The Torah says v'asa achas yichayiv one, and then the Torah says hena yichayiv many. Pamim shechayiv achas akun. Sometimes yichayiv, you do many averis and you only chayiv one karmen chatis. V'pamim shechayiv akolach v'achas. Sometimes yichayiv for everyone, and we'll explain that soon too. K'tanimia. But what do we hear? See, the Yehuda mafila kosav elishtei oisis. Even if he wrote two letters vein shemech, but they're the same letter. Tes, Ror, Gag, Chayiv. Yet in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda seems to say that the two letters have to be two different letters. And says the Gemara, Loi Kasha, Had Dei, Had Rebbe. Our Mishnah statement reflects his own position. This statement, the Braisa, is what his Rebbe taught him. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda, Oim, Mishim, Mishim, Gamliel, Afil, Loi Kasha, Elishtei, Oishis, Vein, Shem, Echad. Even if somebody wrote two letters that did the same character, Kigon, Sheish, Teis, Ror, Chach, his Chayiv. So now we explained Rabbi Yehuda Shitta, and now we're going to continue explaining the Braisa. Ask the Gemara, Rav Shimon Hana Tanakama. Rav Shimon, isn't he saying the same thing as the Tanakama? They're both saying that you're chayiv for writing two letters from a long word, even if the letters are identical. V'chitema Aleph Aleph Da Azrach Ikbenayu. There's a pasuk that says Azrecha. The first two letters of that word are Aleph Aleph. The Tanakama, so the Tanakama holds Aleph Aleph the Azrecha Loi Mechayif. Why? Because the two letters Aleph Aleph together don't represent any real word. Rav Shimon Sover, Kivan the Isa Beluk Driba Alma, since sometimes people write in a Kameya the letters Aleph Aleph together, so they do represent something in the Chayif. So that would mean, ask the Gemara, Lememra, the Shimon Lechumra. The Shimon is the more stringent Shita. The Tanakam is going to tell us Aleph Aleph, you're not Chayif. Rav Shimon holds you Chayif. But Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, just opposite, Hakadeya Kol Shehu, somebody drills any amount, Chayif. Hamagara Kol Shehu, somebody who scrapes any amount off a pole or a parchment, Chayif. Ham'abd Koshu, somebody tans any amount of hide. Hatsor Bekli Tzura Koshu, somebody who graves even the smallest design, is Chayif. Rav Shimon says no. Achi Deich is Kulai. He only is Chayif, he drills the entire hole that he planned to drill. Achi Yigur is Kulai, until he scrapes the entire pole he intended to scrape. Achi Ab is Kulai, until he tans the entire piece of leather he intended to tan. Achi Yot is Kulai, until he engraves the entire utensil, the entire design that he meant. El Rav Shimon Has L'Sheminan, says the Gemara, you know what Rav Shimon says? Come to teach us Yichtav as Hashem Kulai. He has to write the entire word that he originally planned. Only then, and only then, is he chayiv. Ask the Gemara, Ami Matzis Amri Hachi. How could you say this for 10 Rav Shimon Omer? V'asa achas yochel ach Yichtav Hashem Kulai. And you would think that you're only chayiv until you write the entire word, tamalayim may achas, even if you wrote part of it. And it says the Gemara, teretz v'emahachi. What Rav Shimon meant is ach yichtav as a pasuk kulay. That let's say a person had a mind to write an entire pasuk, and then he wrote only one word, tamalayim may achas, he's chayiv. But if he intended to write an entire word, and then he only wrote two letters of the word, he would not be chayiv. Now Tosfos explains Rav Shimon like this. In the Braisa was saying that if somebody intended to write a sentence or weave a garment, he's chayiv even if he did not complete his plans. In the second Braisa, he says that regarding a hole or doing any other malacha, he's only chayiv if he completed what he planned. So what is the difference? When is he chayiv if he didn't complete his plans, and when he's not chayiv if he completed his plans? So Tosfos answers like this: that when somebody creates something new, like making a garment, so Tosfos holds Rav Shimon says there'll be chayiv even if he did only part of what he planned to do, as long as what he did can endure. But says Tosfos, Rav Shimon holds when a person's object was merely to improve upon an existing object, like drilling, scraping, engraving. Rav Shim will hold him only chayiv if he completes his planned improvement. Rav Yossi, I mean, we learned in the Brayse that Rav Yossi says, "Va'asa achas, va'asa heina." He explained, "Pam shechayiv achas akun." Sometimes he's mechuyiv one chatas for doing many averis, or pam shechayiv kol achas v'achas. Om Rav Yossi, Rav Chinen, my time of the Rav Yossi. What's the explanation of Yossi? So he says, the pasuk says, the pasuk could have said achas. What did the pasuk say? Me'achas. The pasuk could have said heina. What did the pasuk actually say? Me'heina. Comes to teach us, and furthermore, achashi heina. Sometimes we have a situation that he did one and he's mechuy of many. Veheina she'achas, and sometimes he did many and he's only chayiv achas. Explains the Gemara. Achas, the pasuk that says achas means that he wrote the word Shimon. Me'achas, when the Torah says me'achas from one, comes to teach us shame Shimon. That if he only wrote the word shame from the word Shimon, he'll be chayif. Heina, when the Torah says the word heina, comes to teach us that yechayif for the others. Meheina, it comes to teach us that yechayif for the toldos. Achashi heina, sometimes a person did one aveira and he'll be chayif many chatos, is a case of Zodin Shabbos, where a person knew that at Shabbos, the Shigas Melachas, but he did not realize that what he was doing, the various different actions he was doing, were Melachas. In such a case, he'll be chayiv for every Melacha that he did. Heina she'achas, what's the situation that he's chayiv, that he did many things, that he's only chayiv one? Shigas Shabbos, Zod Melachas. He knows that the various actions that he's doing are Melachas. But his old mistake emanated from one mistake, that he didn't realize that today is Shabbos. In such a case, since it's all one mistake, that he didn't realize today is Shabbos, he'll only be chayiv one carbon chatas.